Today's word.
All right, so I'm getting into my teaching for today. As you know, we've been looking at the father and his household, and this is part three of the message, the father and his household, and the subtitle is friends. Friends. Last week we looked at the life of the outcast, and we see how God judges the outcast. Today we are going to look at the beginning of God's process of bringing his children back home. How is God going to bring the outcast home? I said earlier that the outcast cannot return by himself, and God cannot bring the outcast home unjustly and unfairly. God cannot just say, it doesn't matter, just come home, you are my children, because they have sinned, and that sin has to be amended. They have rebelled, and that rebellion has to be dealt with. And not only that, there are witnesses, people who saw them do the wrong thing. And so God cannot be a just God if he just overlooks the sin of man and says, it's okay, just come back home. So there has to be a process. Remember that when the angels sinned in heaven and rebelled against God, similar to what Adam and Eve did, God cast them out permanently into hell. The end of everyone who rebels against God is that place. So if God doesn't want his children to go to hell, he has to do something that even the angels cannot accuse him of partiality. So it has to be done in process, it has to be done legitimately, and it has to fulfill the just demands that God himself represents. So God has to start a process. We looked at how God judges outcasts, and it ended with a flood. And afterwards, God brought man out of the flood, repopulated the earth through Noah and his children. And over the years, they tried to reach to God, and they tried to get back to God's family, become children of God again. They built a tower by human effort and human ingenuity and creativity, and thinking that if they work so hard and are creative and very expressive, then God will accept them. But God scattered them, because you cannot get to him through human creativity and human works. So now God has to reach out and bring man in. And over the generations, all kinds of people come along until God finds a man called Abraham. And God begins to work with that man, Abraham. And that's what we're going to look at today, because Abraham is the beginning of God's plan of redemption. So let's look at how God called Abraham. And we're going to start our journey from Genesis chapter 12. Abraham came from the Ur of the Chaldeans, or the Chaldees, and really wasn't a major worshiper of God. I mean, at that time, people didn't know God properly. They were all outcasts. They were worshiping idols. But God placed his love, his grace upon this man, Abraham, and called him to himself. So let's look at how this journey starts from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I want you to underline the phrase, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In the first call of Abraham, God said to him, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, every human family, if they want to get to God, is going to be related to something that has to do with Abraham. Abraham is going to be open a door that will allow every human being to receive God's acceptance. God spoke to Abraham and told them, I want you to note that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, in Abraham, all the families, Ghanaians, Nigerians, Africans, Chinese, Asians, Australians, Americans, Europeans, South Americans, North Americans, Latinos, whatever you, your family of the earth, in Abraham, we find a connection to God. That is very important. I want you to take particular note of that. Second revelation, in chapter 13, God comes to Abraham again in chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 14 and 16. And the Bible says, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. I want you to underline verse 16. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. In other words, Abraham's descendants will be as numerous, as uncountable as the dust of the earth. This was in reference to the large number of people who would come to God through Abraham. So first Abraham, God says to him, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And now he says, those who will be blessed cannot be counted. There will be a large number. It's not just going to be a few people. It's not just going to be one here, two there. It's a whole lot of people. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. As the dust of the earth. I want you to take note of that, because I'll come back to this sometime later in my message, getting to the end. Then in chapter 14, God speaks to Abraham again through a man called Melchizedek. Melchizedek is an unusual character in the Bible, and maybe one day when you can take a lot of strong meat, I can teach you about Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. This is after Abraham had won a battle and Melchizedek approached him. The Bible says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, the word Salem means peace. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Bread and wine are symbols of communion. The only person who can minister the communion is a priest. And this is the first time somebody is doing that. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the Most High God. This is also the first time somebody is described as a priest of the Most High God. This is the first time a person who is a priest of God is appearing in the Bible. So Melchizedek is both a king and a priest. He's a king priest. All right, verse 19. And he, that's Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. So if Abraham was tithing to Melchizedek, it means that Melchizedek occupied a higher spiritual position than Abraham, because the lesser tithes to the higher. So this Melchizedek is quite an interesting character in the Bible, and maybe one day I will teach about him. But for now, just let's let it stay as it is. Melchizedek, the priest of God. Now, what did Melchizedek say to Abraham? Melchizedek said to Abraham, God has delivered your enemies into your hand. God has delivered your enemies into your hand. The first time God speaks to Abraham, he says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Second, your descendants will not be numbered. There'll be so many of them. Third, God will give your enemies into your hand. And when Melchizedek said that, he was not only speaking about the battle that Abraham has just won, but he's also speaking about the future battle, because there is an enemy of God who stole the right of God from the children of God. His name is Satan. In the book of Genesis, that enemy deceived man and got man into trouble, so man became an outcast. When God was speaking to man, he said that that enemy will be crushed one day. Now Melchizedek is saying God is going to deliver Abraham's enemies to Abraham. In other words, that enemy that caused trouble to man one day will be delivered into the hand of Abraham. You know that years later, a man called Jesus came, and he's described as a seed of Abraham, and that is the man who crushed the head of the serpent. So this is a prophetic statement that the Redeemer is going to come through Abraham. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth. And not only that, you will be the one who really finishes the enemy, or through you, the enemy is going to be crushed. These are very important things that God is saying to Abraham. At this time, Abraham doesn't even know God well, because he's now beginning his journey with God, and God is saying all these profound things to him and telling him all these powerful things and giving him all these powerful prophecies. Then in chapter 15, something very remarkable happens. The gears shift to a higher level, and we begin to see a grand revelation of God's purpose for man. So in chapter 15, we see a grand revelation of God's purpose for man. So let's look at chapter 15 of Genesis, from verse 1 to verse 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. This is something very huge. It's big. All right. Now, it starts and says, after these things meaning what has happened previously, all that God has done to Abraham, especially after his meeting with Melchizedek. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted, he accounted it to him for righteousness. Just a little thing I want you to note in verse 5. Remember, earlier God had said to Abraham that his descendants would be like the dust of the earth. Now he is saying his descendants shall be like the stars in the sky. So Abraham has two sets of descendants, the dust of the earth and the sun, the stars in the sky. And I would comment on that when I'm concluding my message, but just want to bring it to your notice. But what I want to really drill down is in verse 1. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying. Now, that's a very interesting statement there in the passage. And I had never really taken time to look at that. It never struck me as an unusual statement. But as I was studying further into this passage, something just opened in my understanding. You know, anytime God had visited Abraham from chapter 12, we hear the phrase, and the Lord God said to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, and the Lord said to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, get out from your father's, and the Lord said to, the Lord said to. So when the Bible is reporting what God has said to Abraham, the phrase it uses is, the Lord said to Abraham. But in chapter 15, a new phrase is introduced, and this is actually the first time it is introduced in the Bible. And it occurs twice in this passage, one in verse 1 and the other in verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord. Everybody say, the word of the Lord. Now it says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying. Now, why didn't God use the previous phrases where it says, or the Bible didn't use the previous phrases where it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, and the Lord said to Abraham? Why does he have to change the structure and say, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying? Because it's an entirely different thing from what has happened previously. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying.